Following are comments on Shakespeare's Titus Andronicus, Act 5. Oft have I digged up dead men from their graves. The Goths agree to follow Lucius. Aaron is captured by Lucius's army, and having extracted a promise to save his baby, exults in his many villainies. Lucius agrees to meet Saturninus at the Andronici home. In Act 5, Scene 1, the Goths swear loyalty to Lucius. Quote unquote, "Be bold in us, we'll follow where thou leadst." Act 5, Scene 1, Line 13. Aaron, captured with his child, is brought in. He did not know about this new development regarding the Goths. Lucius threatens the child, so Aaron promises to reveal everything about his plots with Tamora and her sons, but Lucius must swear by the Christian God. For it seems that's what Aaron attributes to Lucius by way of faith, based on his reference to Lucius's ritualistic, quote-unquote, popish tricks. Act 5, Scene 1, Line 76, C, Lines 74 through 85 inclusive. This is a strange moment in the play, since the ritual sacrifice in Act 1 has nothing to do with Christianity, or, indeed, with properly pagan Roman ritual. But the Rome that Shakespeare presents is obviously not temporally solid or coherent. It is a bricolage or prismatic representation that we are given, not a unitary one. Well, all the plotting Aaron recounts, his getting a child by Tamora, the murder of Bassianus, and the rape and mutilation of Lavinia that he inspired Chiron and Demetrius to commit, his own gleefully fraudulent taking of Titus's hand, all this is news to Lucius because he left to raise an army of Goths before Lavinia revealed what had happened to her and who did it. Act 5, Scene 1, Lines 87 through 120, inclusive. When asked if he's sorry, Aaron outdoes himself with a flourish of thoroughly implausible supervillain rhetoric. Act 5, Scene 1, Lines 124 through 144, inclusive. It would be hard to top the following claim for sheer malice. Quote unquote, "Oft have I digged up dead men from their graves and set them upright at their dear friend's door." Act 5, Scene 1, Lines 135 through 136. One can almost imagine this rascal selling franchises of Aaron's Evil Deeds Incorporated. So busy does he boast himself to be in the plotting and doing of depraved acts. How else could he find the time to do so much evil by himself? Aaron seems dedicated not so much to the kind of violence that furthers his self-interest or ambition, but rather to outrages that allow him to vent his long-standing hatred of the Romans. In the outrageous line quoted above, friendship is the target of Aaron's alleged stratagem, and readers of classical history and culture will know that loyalty in the cause of amicitia was among the primary Roman virtues. More than that, Aaron asserts a fierce liberty in the face of a Roman culture that depends upon the ties that bind people. Ties of memory, friendship, the cult of the family, and piety towards the state. To round off the scene, Lucius hears that Saturninus, quote-unquote, "craves a parley at your father's house," and agrees to hear the emperor out if proper pledges are given. Act 5, Scene 1, Line 159. "Hark, wretches, how I mean to martyr you! Tamora appears to Titus as revenge and promises to assist him by inviting Saturninus and Tamora to a dinner if he will get Lucius to attend. Titus demands that rape and murder, Chiron and Demetrius, that is, stay with him. He explains to them that he will mingle their blood with their bones to make a pie for Tamora and Saturninus." In Act 5, Scene 2, Tamora and her sons show up at Titus's place dressed as revenge, murder, and rapine. Act 5, Scene 2, Lines 1 through 69 inclusive. Titus doesn't believe them, but they consider him mad in spite of the clues he lets slip, Revenge wants Titus to send for Lucius, and promises that when they are all at a banquet at Titus's home, she will reel in Tamora, Chiron, Demetrius, the emperor, and any other foes, so that the general may take revenge upon them. Act 5, Scene 2, lines 115 through 120. Titus insists that rapine and murder stay with him, and then kills them, though not before he fully informs them that they are literally on the banquet menu. Quote unquote, "Hark, wretches, how I mean to martyr you. Ellipsis, I will grind your bones to dust, and with your blood and it I'll make a paste." Act 5, Scene 2, lines 179 and 185 through 186. Like the Thracian king Tereus in the legend Ovid recounts, Tamora will first, quote unquote, swallow her own increase, and then be made to know that she has done so. Act 5, Scene 2, line 190. "Why, there they are, both baked in this pie." Titus serves a cannibal pie to Tamora and Saturninus and kills Lavinia. Titus reveals to Tamora that she has eaten Chiron and Demetrius's flesh and stabs her to death. Saturninus kills Titus and Lucius kills him. Marcus and Lucius address the Roman people and Lucius becomes emperor. Aaron is partially buried and condemned to starve. Tamora's corpse will be fed to the birds. Marcus, Lucius, and young Lucius grieve Titus's death. In Act 5, Scene 3, it's time for the fine banquet Titus has promised the emperor and his Goth empress, and sure enough, Titus enters dressed as a cook. Julie Taymor's 1999 production Titus, by the way, hilariously sets much of this scene to Cesare Biscio's upbeat 1937 Italian film song Vivere, sung by Carlo Butti. It's a nice touch. The table is set and dinner is served. Act 5, Scene 3, lines 25 and following. Seemingly out of nowhere, Titus asks Saturninus if Virginius, a decemvir from 451 to 449 BCE, was right to kill his daughter for chastity's sake. Act 5, Scene 3, lines 35 through 38. As the story goes in Livy's History of Rome, Book 3, Chapter 44, Appius had used legal trickery in an attempt to force himself on Virginius's daughter, claiming that she was actually his slave. Virginius, disguised as a slave, killed her just after Appius's co-conspirator, Marcus Claudius, judged in favor of Appius. After posing his question to Saturninus and receiving an affirmative answer, Titus kills Lavinia, saying, quote unquote, "Die, die, Lavinia, and thy shame with thee," explaining to all present that Chiron and Demetrius had ravished her. Act 5, Scene 3, lines 45 and following. Asked where these two ruffians are, Titus informs Tamora and Saturninus with an unforgettably gleeful rhyme, quote unquote, "Why, there they are, both baked in this pie whereof their mother daintily hath fed, eating the flesh that she herself hath bred." Act 5, Scene 3, lines 59 through 61. Titus immediately stabs Tamora, and Saturninus kills him, whereupon Lucius kills Saturninus. Act 5, Scene 3, lines 65. Shakespeare may well have congratulated himself on providing an appropriately sized heap of corpses for his revenge tragedy. His revenge play rivals, Thomas Kidd and Kit Marlowe, would certainly approve, and so would John Webster a few decades after Titus Andronicus's successful run. Aemilius asks for a full account of all the misdeeds that have occurred, and receives it from Lucius, who was chosen emperor. Act 5, Scene 3, lines 95 through 107 inclusive. Marcus asks all assembled if the Andronici have done wrong in exacting revenge. If they have, he offers that, quote unquote, "the poor remainder of Andronici will hand in hand all headlong hurl ourselves." Act 5, Scene 3, lines 130 through 131. Shakespeare just couldn't resist a final quibble on hands and heads, could he? But no such call is made. Aaron is carried in and judgment is passed against him. Act 5, Scene 3, lines 175 through 177. He is sentenced to starve while buried, quote-unquote, breast deep in earth, which seems like a spiteful way of denying him the sustenance that cannot be denied his child. Act 5, Scene 3, line 178. Still, Aaron maintains his standing as the play's most remorseless evildoer, declaring publicly, quote-unquote, if one good deed in all my life I did, I do repent it from my very soul. Act 5, Scene 3, lines 188 through 189. At least he's consistent. The savage irony of this punishment is that, as mentioned earlier, Aaron had set himself up as a free spirit, knowledgeable about but unbounded by Roman customs or values. The emperor will be properly buried, but Aaron will be pinned down to this lean fate. And, quote-unquote, that ravenous tiger Tamara will feast the birds. Act 5, Scene 3, line 194. Thanks for listening. This audio lecture was recorded on Wednesday, January 14th, 2026. The foregoing material is copyright 2026 by Alfred J. Drake. For quotations, I have relied on the Norton Shakespeare 3rd edition, 4-volume, genre-based format.